Hello and welcome back to the EFL Freezer Crowd podcast. I'm James, and as always, I'm joined by Andy.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
And Luke.
How are we, lads?
Hi, mate. This week on the podcast, as well as the usual EFL roundup and the focus on a few games in particular, we'll be dipping into some of the key news from around the EFL. It's been a busy week and we've had managerial sack-ins and appointments and plenty of other news. So which bits of news have caught your eye this week then, boys?
Yeah, there's been a lot going on, hasn't there, sacking-wise, especially in the Championship at the moment. I think Koku, as we mentioned last week, looked like he was sort of teetering on the edge. He's gone. Gary Monk also gone, been replaced by an EFL / Premier League legend. I'm sure we'll get on to later.
Legend.
Yeah, if you drop down a league, you've got Bristol Rovers sacking Ben Garner and you've got Clough joining at Mansfield as well.
Yeah, the Clough one looks like quite a good appointment to me. Someone who's kind of done it before. And a weird one really for him in terms of the fact that Mansfield seem to be able to spend money every opportunity, but he's kind of a manager who's done it before without having to spend any money, so that could be an interesting one to keep an eye on. You've got the fact that Sheridan's obviously left Wigan but gone to manage Swindon as well, which is another weird one for me. But
yeah, it seems a bit of a sidestep more than a step up anyway.
I think it's a good move for him personally. Obviously get out of Wigan as soon as you can at the moment, no disrespect to them, but whether he's the right opponent.
Definite disrespect Swindon. Right there.
Well, not to the fans, but to the club in general.
Yeah, no, I get completely what you mean. I mean, no one wants to see a football club kind of go through that or end up in that position. But from his point of view, it's not somewhere you're going to want to stick around in their current situation at the moment, is it?
Yeah, he was on a very short-term contract as well, I think. So it makes sense to get a bit of stability at Swindon.
Yeah, and you never know. I mean, a lot of teams, once they've been promoted, then look to kind of continue and push on a little bit. So there might be a project there for him at Swindon. I'm not sure what he's really done before that would kind of suggest that he deserves the job, but I guess we'll have to judge him on what he manages to do.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll check in on him next week.
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously we had quite a few EFL players playing in the week on international duty, mainly for Scotland and Northern Ireland. Some will obviously come away from the week feeling slightly happier than others.
Yeah, we had David Marshall going from zero to hero from last week's calamitous display to taking his club all the way to the Euros, which is nice.
David Marshall! Very good.
Yeah, obviously he was given a little bit of stick from the episode one of the podcast, but he's come back stronger, as they've said on another rival sports podcast. Not that we have any rivals.
Just friends here. Yeah, I mean, I think we went over Monk and Koku a little bit quickly there. They're actually obviously quite big news for the Championship. I think there's a bit of a weird timing for the Monk one, because I think if you'd done it a couple of weeks back, people maybe would have accepted it a bit more. But they've just had a couple of decent results, which means, I mean, a few people seem a little bit confused about it, but I'm not sure what the ins and outs are. But it'll be interesting to see how Pulis gets on.
Yeah, obviously he came in with a pretty difficult start taking the job. I'm not sure whether he would have got another Championship job at that point, but he didn't have his own staff or the ability to add any players at that point either. And he started off really well with them as well. I think they were about third in December last year, but it's just gone, obviously the club's gone from bad to worse really since then, and then the obvious points deduction as well.
Yeah, it's been a really hard one to kind of judge, because like you say, at the start, he did really, really well. But there's been so much going on in the background, it's kind of hard to judge from a manager's perspective how well they've actually done. Last year didn't go as they would have wanted it to, and then in the window in summer I thought they actually brought in like a little bit of firepower and something that I thought might work for them, but I suppose it was always going to be hard with the points deduction. But yeah, obviously it's not ended well for him there.
Yeah, one of those clubs where it's just what do you want from the manager really. I mean, he's in such a difficult position there. We don't know what's gone on behind the scenes with him, but
Oh God, yeah, I did. I don't know if you saw that strange interview the other week with Chancery, where he's talking about how did he end up as the owner of Sheffield Wednesday, and he's like, "Oh, I gave a sheet of paper with a load of football clubs written down on it, and it had like Arsenal and everyone written down on it." And he said to his son, "Oh, just choose one off there. Which one do you like the look of?" And his son's picked Sheffield Wednesday, and that's kind of how the story goes, which is very, very odd. Not something I would probably admit to if I was the owner of a football club trying to inspire some fans. Yeah. And then the other one is Cocu, which we obviously mentioned earlier. I think a few people probably saw it coming, but I mean, it's happened now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I was one of them as well. It was my game last week, and I did say that he may have been in a meeting about his job last week, and the Hayden curse has done him again there.
You bought him an extra week, but you didn't buy him an extra game.
Yeah, well, I forgot to mention as well that obviously Gary Monk sacked after a 0-0 draw with Millwall as well, so not a good enough result apparently, although most clubs in the Football League would die for a result like that.
Come on. Yeah,
he's a nice guy, Cocu. You just feel like, well, the saying goes that nice guys finish last, and Derby are exactly that, so it seemed like he'd have to go.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw his little note to the fans. He's obviously took it well.
Yeah.
I think Andy mentioned it last week about him looking like a bit of a dignified sort of guy, and that's how he's come across even when he's been sacked. So yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of the fans feel the same way as well. It's just the fact that it's probably the wrong time for him at that club, really. And then the whole thing with Rooney coming in, who knows what's going to happen there. Obviously, he's apparently leading a management group at the moment.
That is a weird situation. There's like four of them leading, like kind of running a little group there. And they're definitely going into the first fixture as kind of a management team. I think it's Bristol City they've got next week. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get used to Wayne Rooney barking orders on the sideline, but we'll see.
He might leave that up to who is it, Shay Given and Liam Rosinia.
Yeah, Rosinia.
EFL legend as well.
I heard someone like phone into 606 like Saturday afternoon, and he was talking about if Rooney took over as a player manager, they'd come above Chelsea in their respective leagues this year. And you've got to expect Chelsea to become like a top four club. He thinks that Rooney's going to take over and come top four. Absolutely. Like, what is the filter to go onto 606? Is it like a flow diagram? It's like, are you deluded? Yes. Right, you're on the show. Are you deluded? No. Call again next week with the correct one.
I think it's got the same filter as how you get onto this show, Luke, as well. But,
No. Do you know anything? No. Right, grab a microphone.
Has to score for Serbia.
Get in.
Andy Murray going absolutely wild there at the David Marshall save in the midweek. Anyway, that's enough of the news. On to the games that we've picked and kind of focused on this weekend.
Yeah, Luke, do you know which game you're actually focusing on this week? Because I just noticed that did something last week. Play the clip. Yeah.
What do we think to this weekend's games then, boys?
I quite like the look of the Derby Stoke games. It's literally the first 10 words I say on the podcast.
Yes, because Derby did play Stoke last weekend. Jeez, that you mean to go on?
Yeah. Should we give him a chance and let him go first again this week? Or
yeah, who did Derby play this week?
Philip Cocu's Salford Army.
Right, okay. Let's get it right this time, shall we? Right, I watched the Bolton-Salford game Friday night. Didn't expect too much of it, but it was actually quite good. Quite enjoyed it. Bolton having a torrid start to the season, really, lingering near the bottom of the table. But they started like they hadn't been playing before. They looked good. They looked on the front foot. They pressed really well. They put Salford under pressure. Like, it was really impressive. They had some sort of different intensity. And I think it may have been Owen Doyle coming back, because D'Alfonso didn't just say they missed his quality. He admitted that around the whole club, they'd missed his kind of like he peps them up a bit, just brings a little bit to the team that inspires them a little bit. So him coming back on and off the pitch seems to really do a job, really.
Yeah, when you've got someone who's scored that many goals at that level, you're going to be a little bit more confident, aren't you?
Yeah, more than a goal a game at Swindon last year on loan.
Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's what they've brought him in to do. He's done it again.
Not sure what the defending was like on that first goal, though, Luke.
I'd completely missed this, but I thought it was all down to really good pressing. But
I think Tom Clark had a difficult start there, didn't he?
Yeah, not the lead singer of the enemy.
Well, he's had a bit of a lapse in concentration there. I'm not really quite sure what's gone on. I mean, I guess you could argue that the press has kind of brought the problem about, but it just put your foot through it, boy.
Yeah, he's lived and died on that pitch, hasn't he?
No.
What else went on, Luke?
Yeah, swiftly move on from that, please.
Yeah, it was probably a good opportunity for Bolton to get some points because Salford had new manager Richie Wellens coming in. And Andrade looked promising when he came on, but apart from that, Salford didn't look like they offered that much. So it was an opportunity for them to kind of get something. And Owen Doyle did take his opportunity really well. The touch is fantastic. Gets it out from under his feet immediately to be able to slot it in. Just hits it a bit too hard for the first goal.
I preferred the second Bolton finish, to be honest. That's a great finish.
Wonderful. Yeah,
early contender for goal of the day, that, wasn't it, Luke?
save it for later. Yeah, it played some absolutely speculative ball over the top. Just hoof it over the top. Owen Doyle's like chasing down Jordan Turnbull, ex-Cov, as you'll know, James. And instead of doing anything reasonable with it, he just kind of lobs it into his own goal. He probably thought that Owen Doyle's in such good form, I may as well just sling this in the net myself and save us all five seconds.
Yeah, check that goal out if you haven't seen it yet. He's I don't know where he's learnt that, James, but he has learnt it somewhere.
Oh, I can safely tell you that he was awful for us as well. Really was. Well, I mean, look at his career and then look at our trajectory.
Perhaps that's all the last 3 years.
I think the main story of the game was 38-year-old goalkeeping coach Matt Gilkes coming in to replace the out-of-favour Billy Crellin. He's had a couple of stinkers, but hasn't not been helped out by his manager, though. But he had a really good game between the sticks. You could hear him shouting at his defence more than Ian Everett. And he made some really good saves that had to be from, you know, outside the box, edge of the box, because Bolton didn't really give Salford anything. But I just hope it doesn't ruin Billy Crellin's, you know, confidence too much, because he's 20 years old. He's played for England at youth level.
It's obviously difficult for Crellin to have someone breathing down his neck, almost like Petr Cech being announced in the Chelsea squad, isn't it, lads?
It's the same sort of scenario, but they don't have the money to bring in someone like Mendy.
It feels a bit harsh, though. I think, like, not only, like you say, was it harsh enough to kind of call him out in the press quite so brutally, but also, if he wanted to bring in a bit more experience just to kind of steady it up a little bit, why didn't he just have that conversation privately and say, look, just to kind of, while you find your feet again or whatever it needs to be, just bring in the experience for a couple of weeks rather than do it so publicly. It feels really harsh on the young goalkeeper.
Yeah, pardon the pun, but he's inevitably going to say something stupid. And he was talking to the Bolton... I'll leave after that.
That was quite good.
He was talking to the Bolton News earlier this week and he was like, yeah, young Crellin's really taken a knock to his confidence recently. That's because you blamed him for two results in a row, you prat.
The Bolton News.
I was looking for a soundbite and I found that and I thought, what is he doing? He's just making it worse, digging himself in a hole.
Yeah, it's pressure. It's pressure, isn't it, to be fair? He's gone in there, having done a good job last year. You can't stop laughing at that, can you? Inevitably. He's brought that one with him and he's loved it.
That one's written down. I've written ha 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 next to it.
You've watched that game hoping that there's some action just so you can bring up that pun.
All my notes are just say inevitably and then just pause for laughs.
Wait for the Tranmere game to hear more puns. Stay tuned.
I had the pleasure of watching Crewe versus Peterborough this weekend with the table toppers, I was hoping that they'd kind of go at it from the start and kind of prove a point really as why they belong at the top of the table, especially with a few games being stopped this week just because of international call-ups. But to be honest, there was only one team that impressed me, and it was Crewe. In possession, they were really, really brave. Played out of the back. Didn't look worried about the fact that Peterborough have got some quite quick players who are willing to kind of press. They broke the press comfortably out from the goalkeeper, straight through the defence. I was really impressed with them. And then defensively, really, really good as well. Peterborough haven't exactly struggled to score this season, but they didn't really ever look like they were going to threaten. The defence kind of did their job, passed out of the back, and broke the lines quite comfortably. I think something that did actually make me chuckle a little bit was the fact that obviously they've lost Tony Peterborough and they've replaced him with Johnson Clark Harris. Now, I think most of us can see that they're not the same player and that they don't really do the exact same job. But the commentary, I was watching from the Peterborough commentary, and they just slated Clark Harris. Absolutely tore into him to the point where the kind of co-commentator had to try and think of something nice to say about Clark Harris. And he did like a little jog across the pitch and he went, "Well, you can see he's trying." And it just really sort of felt sorry for him there. And then they're talking about the predicted subs that they thought the manager, Ferguson, might make to change the game. And they're talking about bringing on Mo Issa, who obviously had a great season last year and has actually looked quite good up until this point. But his form's obviously not great at the moment. And the commentator again just starts laying into him, questioning if he could even tie his laces, which was quite funny. Again, though, really the team to talk about was Crewe. Really, really good. Took their chances. Their pressing actually earned them a goal really in the end. They kind of capitalised on a mistake that they forced and put the chance away really nicely. And then the second goal was from a great free kick sort of just outside the box. Really nice. Keeper couldn't do much about it. But yeah, the commentary just made me laugh. Not only were they really, really negative at slating their own players, but they couldn't stop laughing about the fact that Crewe have a stand called the Ice Cream Van Stand, which was amusing. But yeah, Crewe, really, really good. Peterborough fans, probably a little bit worried about that performance, because really, if you're going to be at the top for the season, you probably need to be getting a goal away at Crewe.
I think it was Jamie Mackey doing the game on Soccer Saturday, and he impressed me as well with his talk of the game as well. But every single time they went to him, he was saying, "It looks like Crewe are going to score again." It was sort of setting him up. They focused on that game before and said Peterborough should win that game. Every time he was sort of confident that Crewe were going to win the game. So I don't know what you feel about that, about how dominant they were.
It seems more impressive because they were talking about how Crewe hadn't scored in like three or four games.
Yeah, I think when you're asking your team to play that way, it can take a while for that to set in. I mean, obviously, I'm assuming they've played that now for kind of two seasons and it's worked for them a bit, well, more than a bit, but it is a step up trying to play that in League One. But they didn't look fazed by it at all. I don't know if maybe Peterborough turned up expecting to kind of turn them over and kind of swaggered onto the pitch a little bit. It did look like that at times. I think the midfield just assumed that they were going to be able to waltz through. But Crewe put a foot in where it hurt when they needed to. And then once they got the ball back, really comfortable on the ball. And yeah, I would agree with Mackie and say they were really, really dominant and probably could have scored more, to be honest.
Yeah, it looked like Peterborough left a lot of gaps in the midfield for Crewe to run through and have chances. But it's up to Crewe to kind of like pounce on those and kind of take advantage. So it seemed to be the story of the weekend on the EFL show and Soccer Saturday that they were just dominating Peterborough.
Yeah, I think it'd be really, really interesting now just to keep an eye on them to see if they can kind of kick on from that. Because if you needed a confidence boost after what you've just said about the lack of goals, going up against the league leaders and putting a performance like that, I mean, that's exactly what Crewe needed. It'll be interesting to see if they can keep that up. Andy, on to your game. What have you gone for?
Well, I feel going back to League Two, there's only one game you can really pick from that. Not a team that have had too much interest this season. Tranmere Rovers winning 4-3 at Port Vale. Port Vale favourites going into the game, obviously with Michael Jackson being sacked 2 weeks ago from Tranmere. And I think Ian Dawes has taken over for the last couple of weeks as caretaker manager, who came across really well in the post-match interviews as well. So, and obviously, if there's one thing that we should all be doing now is staying indoors. So,
brilliant.
But I did see Port Vale obviously 2-0 up after 24 minutes. A fairly dodgy penalty, I think, after about 15 minutes of the game, which they weren't too happy with, Tranmere. And then a really well-worked corner routine where David Amu ended up scoring that made it 2-0. But even then, Tranmere was sort of the dominant side, even against 11v11, and it looked like they were going to come back into it. And then just after half-time, Luke Joyce has shown a straight red card for just a ridiculous tackle, really, especially when your team are 2-0 up in a pretty big game against a team without a manager, just offering them back into the game, especially when you've got the likes of James Vaughan up front for Tranmere. Yeah, you just know he's going to score goals at that level. Although he hasn't had the best start to the season, I don't think. Well, not many of the Tranmere players have. They came back really well, dominant throughout the game. He made it 2-1 with a good finish. It was a strange disallowed goal as well just after that, which I'm still not entirely sure why it was ruled out. But then just after that, another penalty. This time, more of an obvious penalty, and he slotted that away, and it looked like they were going to go on to win the game. Port Vale then just sort of picked it up a little bit more, settling for set pieces and things. David Worrell, who's got a really good delivery, put a good ball in, and Devante Rodney headed them ahead again. But after that, more Tranmere dominance once again. It took until the 93rd minute until Woolery made it 3-3. And then I think it probably will be my goal of the day. It was Kieran Morris in the 96th minute to win it. Cut inside onto his left foot and curled one in. Safe to say the Tranmere players and travelling staff were very happy with that one.
Yeah, if you're going to score a goal of that quality, that's when to do it.
It's not wasted like the our goal of the week last week.
Talking of wasted goals of the week, I've nominated blooming Jordan Turnbull's own goal. So
that wasn't wasted. That wasn't wasted.
We'll get on to that. We'll get on to that. But I think, it was a really strong performance from Tranmere, though. So it looked like they're going to hopefully pick up. I saw that Danny Cowley's actually the favourite to take over there, which is a really strange one. I mean, I know his name gets linked with every job at the moment, but he's a fairly strong favourite. And the way indoors, no jokes this time, spoke after the game, he came across really well. So I'd be surprised if they don't actually give it to him for at least a couple more weeks. So we'll see what happens with that one.
Yeah. Well, he's thrown his name in the ring, hasn't he? He's got to be kind of considered at least.
100%.
Port Vale have had a really positive start to the season, like on and off the pitch. And with Tranmere coming in without a manager, you thought it was just going to be a walkover. You felt like that red card made it more of an even game?
That was the thing. Looking at it without watching it too much, you would have thought that. But the Tranmere really were the better team throughout the whole game, actually. And it was strange that they went one up, let alone two up. So all credit to Tranmere there and to Ian Dawes taking over. And hopefully that sparks them to go up the table a little bit more.
I think they're both teams that are going to be worth watching. I know Tranmere's start hasn't been what maybe we've expected it to be, but you've got to fancy them to kick on now. And also Port Vale, having been taken over at the back end of last season, and it looks like actually some money's been put in a little bit. And they did actually have a really, really strong finish to the season last season. And it's probably worth mentioning at this point that they got quite a lot of good press at the end of last season, actually, because obviously it went down to the points per game to finish the seasons last year. And when they consulted all the teams, despite the fact that Port Vale were well in with a shout of finishing in the top six, they still voted to end the season early, which was interesting. And maybe it kind of hints at the fact they thought, you know, we've got a chance next season. We'll go at it on a clean slate with the new owners and see where we get. So it could be interesting to see how they get on, having had quite a strong start.
Yeah, I'll be very surprised if they don't end up in at least the playoffs by the end of the season. Probably just a blip coming up against a rejuvenated Tranmere side yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, they had a point to prove, considering, you know, manager's gone. And maybe, like you say, caretaker manager's been able to put his message across a little bit more, and maybe that's just allowed them to play a little bit better this weekend.
You've got to fucking die to get 3 points!
That sound clip. To be honest, it looked like quite a few teams were trying to die for 3 points. It was a hell of a lot of goals across the leagues this weekend. Starting with Bristol Rovers, Fleetwood, 4-1 away win for Fleetwood there, and ultimately ending the Bristol Rovers manager's job.
Also ending their apparently good form, James, wasn't it?
Bristol Rovers won away at Walsall as well, which I think they're on actually a decent bit of form at the moment, Rovers. Their manager needs to kind of prove himself.
What happened there?
Prove himself he did.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on from that. I've not covered myself in glory there, have I? But neither did the Bristol Rovers goalkeeper on that note. I'm not sure if any of you have seen the first Fleetwood goal. Absolute calamity moment for the goalkeeper. It's like a floated free kick. He's just missed it and it's gone in the net.
Yeah, I think we'll blame the weather conditions on that one. Torrential rain in Bristol that day. I mean, it was a fairly well-hit free kick, but he's sort of gone for the Ronaldo-style free kick, which would have worked if it had more power and it was closer, yet it's still somehow looped over him. He's dived under it.
Yeah, also worth mentioning on that, I know it was only a consolation goal, but the Bristol Rovers goal was actually a really well-worked passing move, which maybe was a sign of what the manager would have wanted, but ultimately not enough. Yeah, another fixture that I was keeping an eye on over the weekend as well was the Sunderland MK Dons one. Sunderland managing to lose at home to MK Dons. Really smart header from Cameron Jerome, getting across his man and just flicking it on to the back post. And I know that we have a section on kind of goal of the week, but I don't know if either of you have seen the Will Grigg miss from literally 1 yard out. It was easier to score than miss. So well done, Will.
Fire's been well and truly put out, hasn't it?
Yeah, Lee Bowyer was enthusiastic about it as ever.
Yeah, it was a tough one to know what was going on in that game. Like, apparently Sunderland were on top, but to be able to understand what Lee Bowyer was trying to say is always difficult.
You said that someone was sliding in about four times and couldn't get the name out.
Slides in.
Yeah, we won't have it. I mean, it was his debut, was it, on the show? I hope it was, anyway.
It sounded like
I'm not sure it was, actually. But
first and last. Yeah.
Thanks for coming, Lee.
Get back to the sideline. But, I think Sunderland were mainly on top, but defensively, MK Dons were really good. Bringing in Keogh looks like it might have had a bit of an impact. I guess that's kind of testament to them, really, if they've kind of been the second best but managed to come out with a result still. Any other games we've looked at?
I think it's difficult to avoid Shrewsbury v Swindon, isn't it? 6-goal thriller. Another really late goal for a Matt Smith that isn't the Matt Smith that will be mentioned a lot on this podcast.
Yeah, it looked like one of those situations where, again, similar to the game you covered earlier, Shrewsbury on top, but then somehow managed to kind of chuck it away, and then it only looked like one team was going to score at the end. So, quite a few late goals actually this weekend. Yeah, thriller.
Two teams there that were desperate for 3 points as well. So,
and neither of them got it. But as Warnock would say, you got to die for them.
You've got to fucking die to get 3 points.
Good old sound, man. But another game as well that was quite an interesting one was Hull. Obviously, Hull flying at the moment against Burton. And then Hughes somehow manages to get himself sent off after 18 minutes. Not for a straight red, but manages to bag himself two yellows inside 18 minutes. Pretty unfortunate, to be fair. They were quite harsh, but you can see why they've been given. And then looking like they were going to hold on. They've got all the way, they've got over an hour into the game with 10 men, only to then go and lose 2-0.
They did well to keep them out for that long. It was a really good defensive performance, but there's only so long you can hold out Hull at the moment because their team looks very strong for League One.
Yeah, got a feel for Burton fans. I think a few of them were quite optimistic at the start of the season. Into League Two. Two teams that I've actually been keeping an eye on, Barrow and Harrogate, just because obviously it's kind of their first year in the EFL. Harrogate at the moment doing actually quite well, but mainly down to the fact that Muldoon keeps banging the goals in, and he did the same again at the weekend. Another late goal there. I think that was the 85th minute to earn them a point. From what I watched and what I could see, Harrogate threw everything on the line to kind of keep it at one, and then at the end pushed on to try and get the equaliser and managed to. And then Barrow looked like they got a good result as well. I think that was an even later one. I think they scored in the 96th minute.
Yeah, that was literally last kick of the game, that one. Cambridge obviously flying at the moment. No goals this week from Paul Mullin, but the other striker who's been banging them in as well, Joe Ironside, got one.
Yeah, I think top scorers in the league at the moment, those two.
Yeah, and I think Mullin got himself the player of the month in that division, didn't he?
Oh yeah, deservedly so. Yeah. So yeah, just behind Newport at the top of the league at the moment, Cambridge. So hopefully that's just a blip for them as well.
Yeah, and then another one that's also worth mentioning is Mansfield away at Forest Green. First week in charge for Nigel Clough there, and he's got himself the 3 points, and he sounded absolutely over the moon with the 3 points at the end of the game. He was absolutely drenched on the sideline, but he looked like he just did not care. He was over the moon.
And sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
And Southend have their first win of the season.
Something we've all been dying to see, to be fair. Fair play to them. It's never nice watching a team struggle.
No, I think although they were dominated by Walsall for most of the game, I think 88th minute winner, if that doesn't boost their morale, I don't know what will. Not great from Walsall though this week. Only two teams in the division failed to score, and they've joined lowly Harry Kewell's Oldham by doing that.
There was a great converted penalty though, if anyone saw that. So three points to Walsall there over the
3-1. Yeah.
Adebayo playing crossbar challenge with himself.
Yeah.
Smash.
Well, Andy sneaked in that Walsall have dominated there, trying to win back some points from Daryl Clark after last week's abuse.
I believe I said sorry, Daryl, last week as well. So.
Southend, like, for the first 10 or 15 minutes, apparently they were just lumping it and just getting nothing out of the game. But they managed to play themselves into it a bit after that, but they were still dominated.
Yeah,
well,
did you see after their game last week, apparently the fans locked them in the training ground or something?
Yeah, I saw that. Like, how does that situation even happen?
And how have we not made that the main feature of this week's show?
It's a lock-in at Southend. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that is odd, though. I don't know how that situation even comes about. So, like, you can't go to the games, but you get your heads together and think, I know what we'll do. We'll lock them in the training ground this week.
Yeah, they've won a few of them back this week anyway.
Well, it's worked.
Hopefully they'll throw them the keys underneath the gate now. So.
Three cheers for Ramirez. Hip hip!
Three.
Hip hip!
Three.
Shut up!
Talking of three, it's about time we moved on to our Goal of the Week nominations. And we have got three goals here, which are very, very different from one another. I think I've thrown mine out there already. I'm going for Jordan Turnbull's wonderful finish past his own goalkeeper. Not quite sure what he's doing, but I've just got to nominate that one.
Yeah, it's rare you see an own goal as spectacular as that one, is it?
Dropping over his shoulder on the volley.
Just where's the awareness there? Where's the awareness? It's just like, where's the keeper's shout and where's the awareness? He's just gone, I'll just kick it.
Even if the keeper was on his line, like, it's going to do well to bring that one down and clear it, isn't he?
Yeah.
He just looped it. Perfection.
Well, he didn't do it on purpose because it wouldn't have worked.
He wouldn't be playing at that end of the pitch if he could do that.
He wouldn't be playing anywhere on the pitch for me, but anyway.
Well, I'll move on to my one, shall I? I've gone for the Kieran Morris 96th minute winner for Tranmere against Port Vale. I think both for the actual finish and for what it meant for the game as well. Cuts inside on the left side, curls it into the far corner. Absolute perfection again.
Yeah, it's a great finish. And like you say, it could actually prove to be quite a big goal for them, because if they kick on from here, then it could be massive.
Yeah, I think when you look at it like that, there's only one winner this week.
Jordan Turnbull.
Stunner.
Agreed.
Do we need to hear Luke's or?
Yeah, it's going to be something silly, isn't it?
Yeah, I've already been convinced, to be honest. I was going to go for David Amu's really well-worked corner routine, but it's already gone out the window.
You've gone for a corner routine? Luke's pick to goal, it's just a well-worked corner routine. Negative football.
No, I like a corner routine. It's well worked. Straight off the training ground. But
imagine my shock when Luke turns up with a corner routine as his goal of the week.
We picked a 97th minute wonder strike. An incredible own goal. And he's turned up with a corner routine.
I'm not voting for it, don't worry.
Well, what's the point in bringing it then?
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest, I wasn't. If I heard that those were your picks, I wouldn't have bothered.
But any week, that's not going to win, is it?
That's not even beating a Matt Smith bundled in at the far post.
Yeah. not many can. And they didn't even go on to win the game. They've lost. They should have been focusing on their corner routines at their own end.
Yeah, good point. What were we thinking then?
I think it goes well with this show that we're going to be voting for a spectacular own goal, doesn't it?
Having scored an own goal myself last week with the Bristol Rovers comment, I'm sticking with the own goal.
With my own goal with the Derby Stoke game, apparently, that I watched last week, I'm going to have to go with the own goal.
Yes. 3-0 to the own goal.
And I will try to fix you.
I've just been searching through our many emails this week and I've picked out one for this week.
Most of which from Buzzsprout, but that doesn't need to be.
Yeah. Your Spotify account has been activated. But then in amongst all that, we actually have had one from someone called Zampa the Lion. And I will call you Zampa the Lion. And I'll read that one out for you right now. He says, "Hello, chaps. Enjoyed the first show.
Question Thanks, Zampa.
For you. Yep. Thank you. Keep listening. Now we're a quarter way through the season. Which two clubs would you predict will finish in the top two of the Championship? I think we could see Watford and Norwich bounce straight back to the Premier League. There doesn't seem to be a surprise package this year. And Reading should fall away." Then he says, "Come one, come wool, Zampa the Lion." So, not sure we've got much suspicious of a clue of his team there.
He's definitely voting for a bundle in at the back post, mine, for goal of the week.
Yeah, when that comes up. Yeah. But anyway, chaps, what do we think about that email?
Yeah, well, it's pretty hard to disagree with Zampa there, to be honest. I think those two will probably be the two that finish up near the top. Especially going on how they're getting on at the moment before obviously the international break. I think the only other team I could see troubling them is probably Bournemouth. Although I am interested to see how Middlesbrough can get on with Warnock this season.
Yeah, draw merchants, Middlesbrough, maybe if they can turn a few of them into wins. But I agree with what he says as well, that there isn't really a surprise package, is there? I mean, you look at Bristol City there and they're probably not much of a surprise package anyway. You'd expect them at the start of the season to do well. Swansea as well, they just seem a little bit off the abilities of Watford and Norwich at the moment. But I think it's a bit difficult to disagree with Zampa there.
Yeah, I fancy any of the three that came down. I think their squads are too strong. I think two at least of those three are going to just bounce straight back up.
I think without the fans in the division this season as well, the quality on the pitch obviously shines through more than it would have before. So if Watford and Norwich can keep hold of their players in January as well, you've got to fancy them.
Yeah, I was going to say exactly that. I think sometimes the surprise package thing does come from having the fans there. The team hits a little bit of form and then the fans really get on board with it and kind of carry them there. But without that this season, it's going to be hard for anyone to do that. I think Reading have been a surprise package up until now, but like you say, they're going to run out of steam, aren't they? And without the fans there to try and help them, it's probably not going to happen for them. So yeah, we'd probably have to agree.
Yeah, so I think we're fully agreed there with Zampa the Lion, who's written in as our first email correspondence. So if you'd like to get a question on the podcast, it is threesacrowdpod@outlook.com.
And that is the last time we're all going to be agreeing on something.
I hope so.
Well, boys, I think we'll wrap up this week's episode there. I just want to say thanks to anyone who's been listening so far. And if you're enjoying it, please let us know and obviously share it with your pals. We'll definitely be back next week. We've got the championship back with us again. Looking forward to seeing how Wayne Rooney gets on with Derby and how Pulis gets on in his first week with Sheffield Wednesday. There was actually a funny couple of goals in League Two this weekend with two huge long throws resulting in goals. obviously, a few players put their names out there for a Tony Pulis signing in January, maybe. As Andy said earlier, don't forget, if you've got any questions or you want your team covering, then please do email us. Make sure you give us a follow on Twitter. It's just at FreezerCrowdPod. I think all that leaves me to do is say cheers again, boys, and see you next week.
See you next week, boys.
See you next Monday.
Ian Dawes taking over a Tranmere at the moment. No way. I didn't mean to go in that early. I didn't mean to go in that early.
He said it. He bloody said it.
But wait, no, I'll do it again. It's that James rattled up his thing perfectly. And I haven't really got it written down. So
Molly barked halfway through that.
Yeah, but I think sometimes it adds a bit of character when Molly does a little bark in the background. It goes, these guys aren't professional. There's not a dog in the background. There's a literal dog in the same room as one of them.
I've literally said it on purpose.
Yeah, Bengana.
I didn't mean to. I'm not meant to.
Bengana.
They don't talk to me. They look at me.
Bengana.